Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we pick up again with Tychicus in Colossians 4, 7 and following. You remember that we have moved into the last section of the Epistle to the Colossians. Paul is giving greetings and various remembrances of a number of people, starting with those who are with him in Rome when he's writing this epistle. And the very first one that he mentions is a man named Tychicus, whom he describes in verse 7 as a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord. And so we learn from this passage and from the other places where he's mentioned in Scripture, which actually are several, that he was a Gentile saved out of a pagan background who came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, was a faithful church member commended by his congregation, became a traveling companion with Paul, was a trusted messenger, a potential leader, and eventually a seasoned partner in the work of the gospel. And in this Colossian situation, he is actually the one who is carrying this epistle that Paul is now writing in Rome to the city of Colossae, along with the epistle to the Ephesians and one to Philemon, and possibly another one as well. We read the three phrases that Paul uses to describe him, namely, beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant. Beloved brother, he's closer than just a normal brother. He is a beloved brother. Faithful minister, or literally deacon, the word deacon means servant, and fellow servant, and here it's doulos. So Paul actually uses two different Greek terms for servant or slave to describe this man. He was indeed a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his case, that was not just a glib phrase. That was apparently the remarkable and clearly understood reality. Tychicus was a faithful servant of Christ. But now we go on a little bit further on this Wednesday, June 21. We're glad you were able to join us. We're thankful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the air. Paul tells us that he trusted Tychicus to tell the Colossians what they needed and desired to know. Again, verse 7, Tychicus, a fellow brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. So he is trusted to tell the Colossians what they need to know about Paul, what they desire to know about Paul, and two areas in particular that they were interested in. Number one was Paul's health. They wanted to know how he was doing physically. And number two, Paul's ministry plans. What was going on in the work of the Lord beyond their little city of Colossae? What was going on in the Gentile world of which Paul was so much a significant part? And so Tychicus is going to communicate all of this information to them along with Paul's circumstances and what he's anticipating. He's there in Rome, of course, under house arrest, expecting a trial before Caesar. And does he have any news about when he thinks his case is going to come up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Tychicus is one who was an encourager of God's people, that he may, we read in verse 8, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Know your circumstances, it could be translated, understand your concerns, and comfort, or maybe better, strengthen your hearts. Paul is sending Tychicus for more reasons than simply to convey an epistle. He is a courier, but he's far more than that. He's not just an errand boy who is going to deliver the epistle and then hop back on his horse, though actually we don't think he was riding a horse, he was walking on foot, but to get back on the road and to head someplace else. He's more than a delivery boy. When the UPS truck or the FedEx truck drives up to my house or your house, the driver usually jumps out, drops off the package, asks for a signature if it's required in that particular case, jumps back in his truck as quickly as he can, and heads back down the road. He doesn't stay around to do anything else because he's not supposed to do anything else. All he is the courier to bring that package to your residence or business. Well, Tychicus was that, the courier to bring the epistle to the city of Colossae, to the church at Colossae, but he was more than that. He is here to understand your concerns and to strengthen your hearts. And he's going to strengthen them, encourage them, by giving them information and encouragement from the Apostle Paul. They, no doubt, have been worried about Paul's welfare. They know he's under arrest. They wonder about his circumstances. Is he being mistreated? Is he in a deep, dark dungeon? Is he suffering? Is he in poor health because of what's going on there? And he's going to come and tell them, no, though he is chained to a Roman soldier, he's in his own private house, he's under comfortable circumstances, he has people coming in regularly to meet with him, he is dispatching workers to various parts of the Roman Empire to carry out the work of the Lord and the strengthening of churches and evangelization throughout the Roman Empire. And so by this information and encouragement from Paul, their hearts will be strengthened. By Tychicus's personal ministry and encouragement, their hearts will be strengthened. After all, he is more than an errand boy. He is a ministry partner. He is a qualified replacement for Titus 3:12, and later for Timothy in Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4:12. And therefore, obviously, was himself a capable minister of God's word and would be qualified and effective in ministering comfort to the Colossians by ministering to them the word of God. And so he appears to have a gift of teaching and of encouragement and consolation. He was an encourager. Some of you are encouragers. How I thank God for the encouragers in my congregation. What a blessing they are. I could name several. Obviously, I won't on this broadcast, but some are coming to mind right now. I can think of one man that I say to him almost every week, you are a great encouragement to me, because he is. And I can think of others. I'm thinking of a couple of ladies right now who are a regular and constant encouragement to me, and how I thank God for them. Now, I recognize that nothing but encouragement is not what I need. Did I say that well? Maybe I should back up and say it a different way. I'm fully aware of the fact that if I receive nothing but encouragement, then I probably won't progress in my sanctification as I should. So I'm not suggesting that ministers need nothing but encouragement, but I am suggesting they need a good deal of encouragement. And if they get it, their ministry is probably going to be better. And if they don't get it, they may become so discouraged that they aren't able to function as effectively as they otherwise would. And many, a capable minister has dropped out of the ministry altogether. We talk about ministerial burnout. It's a very real phenomenon. It's a very real happening in the lives of many ministers. And there are a lot of reasons for it. And I recognize that the minister is not always without any blame or guilt in that situation. It may be that he's not staying close to the Lord in his prayer life and in his intake of God's word personally for himself, and a number of reasons, of course, why this may happen. But an awful lot of times, it is the most conscientious ministers who suffer the most from burnout. Those that are only, partly committed, partly dedicated, who find it easy to shrug their shoulders and say, well, I can't please everybody, and I'm not going to try, and that's asking too much, that's being unrealistic, and so I'm just going to get along the best I can, I'm going to turn this into a job, and I'm not going to allow myself to feel the intense pressure of the great and high demands of the ministry. The people who take that route, the ministers who take that route, are probably more likely to survive, but they're certainly not likely to thrive. They're not likely to have a fruitful and effective ministry. But it's often those ministers that are actually the most committed, the most sincere, the most concerned about the welfare of their congregation, the most concerned about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, the most grieved at their failures and sins and weaknesses and stumbles, that are the most vulnerable to those critics that you will find in every congregation, and are therefore many times the most subject to discouragement to the point of dropping out, feeling, I just can't do it, I'm not up to it, I'm not capable of this, evidently I'm just not able to do the job that needs to be done, I've got several people who are unhappy with me, and so they drop out sometimes, and the cause of Christ loses an effective minister of the gospel. And I'm just simply suggesting to you that, like Tychicus, Paul sent Tychicus to Colossae to encourage them. And, of course, we're not talking here about only encouraging pastors. He did that to encourage everyone in the church. But Paul thought it was important to not just send a courier who could deliver the epistle and say, this is from the Apostle Paul, thank you, and walk off, but somebody who could actually minister encouragement to them personally. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, verse 8, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Paul thought that was important, and I think that that's important, and I would encourage you to understand that that's important. And if you know Christians around you who are in need of some encouragement, why don't you be the one to supply it? Let somebody else be the sandpaper that is abrasive and painful, but you be the one who is soothing and helpful and encouraging. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.